Yeah, and as I said, the CD didn't copy properly, so we've got no music of any originality today. So that was Summertime for the last of the, what was in it. But in fact, it was quite warm when I was over in New York. It was unseasonably hot for the end of September. And I met, or I heard tell of a peace organisation called Witness for Peace when I was over there. And one woman in particular who's been quite active with Witness for Peace is Amanda Martin. And she joins us on the line today, all the way from Philadelphia, I think. Is it Amanda?
That's right. I'm here in Philadelphia, and I'm on a speaker's tour with Oscar Cañas Fajardo, who is a Colombian petroleum worker. We're doing a three-week tour in the northeast region of the United States. It was part of Witness for Peace, which is a 22-year-old organization, nonprofit, that is focused on U.S. policy in Latin America.
And what particularly are the interests at the moment? First of all, we better establish the importance of oil to the U.S. economy. It's quite intrinsic, or it's fundamental to the U.S. economy, is it not? Especially after Katrina.
It is. And one of the main reasons that the United States is interested in Colombia is because of its rich oil reserves. And Oscar has been working in the oil industry in Colombia for the past 25 years. And doing investigative research on the Occidental Petroleum Company based in Los Angeles and how it's been behaving in his home department of Arauca.
Okay, and what sort of environmental impact is it having?
Well, the Occidental Petroleum Company is basically going into indigenous lands. The Uwa people are an indigenous community in Arauca, and they have a collective land title, but Occidental, through a series of negotiations and buying off the judges in the area, have obtained drilling rights in the Uwa land, in their sacred ceremonial lands. They've gone in and started drilling and displaced many people and forced the small farmers to either sell their land, or if they don't sell their land, they're often threatened and sometimes murdered.
They have no legal recourse.
No, they don't. Under the law and under the Constitution of Colombia, they have the right to that land. But Occidental has established an independent republic in Caño Limón, which is one of the largest, richest oil fields in Colombia.
Wow. Who runs this independent republic?
The Occidental petroleum industry.
Well, Colombia, it's hard to say that it's exactly a unitary state anyway because of the political machinations that have gone on. I think the AUC or the right-wing paramilitaries, there's FARC, there's the US-backed government, and there's so many paramilitaries anyway. But I understand that Occidental has done a deal with FARC as well.
That's true. There are actually three major subversive groups in Colombia. One is the AUC, which are the United Auto Defense Forces, the paramilitaries, which are basically a state-sponsored group. There are two large guerrilla groups. One is the FARC, the Armed Revolutionary Forces of Colombia, and the other is the ELN, the People's Liberation Army. All three groups have a presence in Arauca. Occidental is, of course, very interested in securing their pipeline and making sure that none of these insurgent groups blow up the pipeline. Thus, they'll lose oil and they'll lose their profits. So the Colombian Army provides security for the pipeline and for Occidental's drilling equipment up to a certain point. There are regions of Arauca where the Colombian Army does not provide security, and thus Occidental at one point in 2001 contracted with the 45th Front of the FARC to provide security for that section of the pipeline and also for their drilling equipment in the Uwa ceremonial lands. There were three North American, Native American leaders who came down in solidarity to stand with the Uwa people to defend their lands and defend from petroleum drilling. These three Native American leaders from the United States were murdered by the 45th Front of the FARC, who were contracted by Occidental to provide security for the oil industry. Therefore, Oscar is very much focused on opening up an investigative case to see exactly what role Occidental played in the murder of our three United States Native American leaders. What degree of responsibility do they have in all of this? And as of yet, no one has done this investigation of Occidental.
So is Oscar looking for a case in the United States or as well as Colombia?
He's looking for a case in the United States. He wants people in the United States to get really riled up about this and say, hey, look, we're paying $200 million of our tax dollars to provide security for Occidental, and Occidental has murdered three of our Native American leaders.
So they're also paying $200 million to a company who've done deals with FARC, that an organization that the American government are particularly, they're actually on their list of terrorist groups.
That's correct. After the Twin Towers fell, the United States Department of State put the FARC, the ELN, the AUC, and many other groups in Colombia on the terrorist organization list that we as Americans are not allowed to negotiate with, and yet the multinational petroleum industry is allowed to negotiate and contract with them with our tax dollars.
Yeah, well, we know how close the U.S. administration is to oil companies, I suppose, in general, let alone anyone in particular. But there, I heard something about a concentration of forces on the border with Venezuela. How accurate is that report? Or is the U.S. government having an eye on the Venezuelan oil fields?
We have 300 U.S. Marines on the border of Colombia and Venezuela. They are in the Caño Limón area on the Colombian military bases. We also have the largest communications center in all of South America, based in Saravena, which is one of the larger cities in Arauca. Oscar has given an analysis of the situation due to the research and investigation he's done, and has shown that paramilitary troops from Colombia are purchasing huge swaths of land on the border, both Colombia and Venezuelan territory, and that the cocaine processing laboratories are now being sent into Venezuelan territory to process coca paste into cocaine. And also the narco-trafficking routes are now being rerouted through Venezuela instead of Colombia. And this is all with the goal of being able to paint Venezuela as a narco-terrorist state. Formerly, the United States government tried to paint Venezuela as a country that is harboring guerrillas from Colombia, but there was no evidence. That campaign failed, so now the new campaign is to paint Venezuela as a country that has failed on the war on drugs, as the number one narco-trafficking country in Latin America, in order to justify an invasion, the ultimate goal of which is to take over oil-rich lands.
Can you speculate on a timescale for this invasion?
I've got Oscar right here. Let me ask him
okay,
very quickly.
Brilliant.
Oscar, están preguntando que si tienes idea de cuándo sería la invasión de Venezuela.
Según las circunstancias y el proceso de revolucionario que está haciendo Hugo Chávez en Venezuela se fortalece, la invasión sería más pronto y en otras formas. Si el proceso no se fortalece, entonces ellos mirarían y lo irían dilatando para ir tomando el territorio.
Oscar says, for those of you who don't speak Spanish, that it all depends on Hugo Chavez's power and his campaign in Venezuela. If his power and his campaign continues to strengthen, then the invasion will come much sooner. If it begins to weaken, then we'll see a delay in the plans.
He made a gesture after Katrina to send millions of barrels of oil to the United States, especially for the poor people, and that was rejected by the U.S. I'm not sure if it was a feasible offer anyway, but it was done in good spirit, was it? Perhaps. But I wanted to ask you about Colombia and democracy, generally speaking, because we have Colombia has been the news for oil in Ireland, particularly recently, because three people suspected of working with FARC were. They actually escaped the justice system in Colombia, and they arrived back in Ireland, and there was questions whether they should be extradited or not. And I suppose the first thing that I would ask is Colombia a democracy?
Colombia es una democracia, ¿sí o no?
Una democracia disfrazada.
It is a disguised democracy, according to Oscar.
And so with the judiciary, are they independent?
El sistema judicial es independiente.
No, it's the model of the Inquisition.
Well, okay, well, that's very plain, and I suppose people listening in Ireland can draw their own conclusions from that very clear
statement. We've had some very interesting observations in terms of extradition. The United States has extradited approximately 300 Colombians in the past 3 years under Uribe's presidency, And yet when United States soldiers were found in broad daylight with, I think it was 36 kilos of cocaine, and in the process of taking this cocaine out of the country to sell in the United States, all of which is highly illegal, and using military equipment, U.S. military equipment, to do this, the Colombian government asked that they be extradited for sentencing in Colombia, and of course the U.S. government said absolutely not.
But the U.S. controls the Colombian government to a certain extent, does it?
There's a lot of political analysts in Colombia who refer to Uribe as Bush's little brother.
Is there a link between AUC and the School of the Americas, or the former School of the Americas, do you know?
Hay una conexión entre los paramilitares y la Escuela de las Américas, o con Uribe.
The paramilitary forces are a state-sponsored group that were founded in the mid-80s, and it has been brought out in the mass media in Colombia over the past 2 months that President Uribe's brother was indeed a paramilitary commander. The paramilitary are guilty of egregious crimes in Colombia, and statistics show that 80% of the crimes, the most heinous, bloodiest crimes, have been committed by the paramilitary over the past 10 years.
Now, in Ireland, we know about attacks on trade unions. For instance, the leader of Sin Antrinal, the Coca-Cola union, was recently executed by paramilitaries. But moving on a little bit, I think most of the targets, not just against trade unionists, but are most of the targets against the black community and indigenous community? Do they suffer most from the tyranny that exists in Colombia?
Afro and the indigenous communities in Colombia comprise in total about 29% of the population. They were recognized under the 1991 Constitution and granted certain rights, including collective land titles. What's happening in their communities is that many of these communities are in extremely rich biodiverse areas or regions that have gold, that have petroleum, and thus the state is very interested in recuperating those lands. And in order not to get a bad name, the paramilitary troops are sent in to push the people off of that land. The army doesn't want to take responsibility for the crimes of displacing or massacring people, and thus the paramilitary troops do the dirty work. They're the hired thugs, the contractors. Many indigenous communities and many Afro communities have been displaced off their land, and if they refuse to leave, they're massacred. We can see again and again examples of this with the Uwa community, with the Afro community in Chocó, with a massacre at Bohaya 2 years ago. So we have hordes of indigenous and Afro people coming into the large cities. They've left their land, their culture, their language, their food, their community behind, and are now living on the streets trying to find a way to survive.
I think FARC, it's estimated, controls 40% of the territory of Colombia. I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but do they have any respect among ordinary people in Colombia?
Que si la gente común y corriente de Colombia respetan a las FARC.
Los que tengan armas hay que respetarlo.
Anyone who carries a gun demands respect.
Oh, see. Well, that's respect of power, I suppose. That's just might is right sort of mentality that FARC would be feeding off, perhaps.
I think the current political analysis in Colombia is that the FARC, when they began 40 years ago, had an ideological basis where they were fighting for the people, they were from the people, it was people who were criticizing the government. Over the past four decades, most people that you speak with, whether they're human rights workers, labor leaders, or business people, will say that the FARC, in order to compete with the violence and the militarization of the Colombian army and the paramilitaries, have had to take up arms and compete on this military level, and thus have really left their ideology behind and become just about as violent and bloodthirsty and guilty of massacres as either the public forces or the paramilitary have become.
Okay, Amanda, and sorry, Oscar, I'm just wondering, are you hopeful at all, apart from the specific region of Arauca or the Aua people? I'm just wondering, are you hopeful for Colombia in general, and what's the prognosis, do you think? Or what, are you optimistic?
Esperanza para el pueblo de Colombia.
We have great hope.
Queremos mucho en Colombia.
And we really believe in the people of Colombia.
Y gracias al apoyo de la comunidad internacional, seguiremos resistiendo.
And thanks to the support of the international community and international non-governmental organizations, we will continue to keep fighting for peace in our country.
And how do people go from Ireland go to get more, I suppose, for want a better word, objective information on what is going on in Colombia?
There is many different sources that you can go to. The Latin American Working Group, based in Washington, D.C., they have a website. I believe it's lawg.org. We have our Witness for Peace website, witnessforpeace.org. We bring delegations to Colombia. We also bring them to Nicaragua and Mexico. And anyone who wants to come on a delegation and speak with Colombians and see for themselves what's happening both in the city and out in the countryside is more than welcome to join us on a delegation. You can find a lot more resources on the World Wide Web.
Well, Amanda Martin and Oscar Fajardo, thank you very much. It's been a real privilege and pleasure talking with you today.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate the opportunity. And Oscar and his tour has been encouraging everyone to come to Colombia and to see what's really going on there and to see the effects of U.S. policy and stand with the people of Colombia in trying to create a better future.
Well, all the best in your fight against Occidental. We've actually got something ongoing against Shell over here in Ireland, but it seems to be a common problem all over the world in different varying degrees. We've got 5 people in jail since the 30th of June here, trying to stop oil company from building over their land. But that's small, I suppose, in comparison to what's happening in Arauca as well. But once again, thank you very much. And I think we'll take some music while we line up the next phone call.